I'm going to ask Esther to come up here. So while the band's getting their seats, we are privileged with an abundance of teachers in this house. And today we are going to listen to Esther share the gospel with us. And let me pray for her and for us. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this moment. We thank you that you have a word. You have been speaking to us already this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful to fulfill that which you speak, that your word does not return void, Lord. We pray for Esther, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be upon her for her sake and for ours, Lord, that she would experience your leading, your guiding, and that she would see what it is that you want to say clearly to us. Lord, and we pray for ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that are turned towards you to hear your gospel and to take it from this place for the world that needs it, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks, brave Greg, for giving his pulpit to me. I studied drama at the University of Stellenbosch, and then at least two or three times a year we had to perform in the theater. And the shows would run for 2 weeks, and you get comfortable in your role and the audience enjoys it, but there's one day when the lecturers come. Your lecturer come to watch the show and then you get scored. And that day, it usually everything goes wrong and you're super nervous. That's how it feels when you preach in your own church. It's like you know everybody that you look up to and they're going to score you today. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Worcester. It was just fun, you know. They were tired of, my sister's husband is a pastor there. They were tired of hearing Rick say the same thing every week. Then I came and said exactly the same thing, but it was easy for them because I just sounded different. And if I made mistakes, they couldn't find me in the spar or the okay. Rick could deal with it. So thank you for praying, Craig. It says Theology 101, please don't be nervous. Because what theology means really is we know that if you go Google it, our next slide, it's simply just we seek to understand God revealed in the Bible and through the worship this morning already. I sense in the intercession as well. I thought that today's message is going to bring a lot of healing to people, but I really believe God wants us to enter into a space of celebration and thinking back of his faithfulness today. So for some of you, there might be healing in the word, but I think a lot of us need to today just celebrate and spend sweet time with the Lord in what he's done already. Okay, so we want to look a little bit at God, how he reveals himself specifically in John today. Because the Bible says, why do we spend time regularly on dwelling on who he is? In Deuteronomy, it tells us that we need to love the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. And what does that look like if we don't regularly think upon him and get to know him? There's a British writer and philosopher, Aldous Huxley, that said, it's not up there, we can only love what we know, and we can never know completely what we do not love. Love is a mode of knowledge. So we get to know the Lord through his word and through experience, and then we love him more. It's the same with when you fall in love. You know, when you fall in love with someone, you really don't know them in the beginning. And then as time progresses, hopefully, we love them because they're just amazing. Sometimes we love them in spite of who they are. But with God, I promise you, we just keep on loving him because he's so amazing. And we need to take time often to stand still at that. There's a first century writer that puts it even better than this British philosopher. Acts 17 verse 28 says, in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of our poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Saint Augustine said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Even those of us who've been with the Lord for a long time, we often experience periods of restlessness. And I want us this morning, God wants to invite us back into a place where we can rest in him. John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Okay, so today we're going to stand still with the Father is like Jesus. I think it's the next slide. And I just want to, many of you are going to go, I know this one. Now you can put your screensaver on and spend time in your mind on whatever else you want to. Please don't. Please don't, because I promise you, today is not just going to be me talking. I'm going to need you so that we can get through this next half an hour, and you're going to be an active participant in your mind to really get a next level of revelation from the Father. I've got a good picture. Jesus uses pictures a lot. Google Maps. Let's quickly look at Google Maps. A lot of us use Google Maps. Some of you use other things like Waze, and I don't know, there's other apps, but most of us use this one, so that's why I chose it. So if you want to go to, this is specifically Shofar in Durbanville, then you will type in your destination, and there, you know the red dot. I don't need to explain this, you know this, okay? And then usually it asks you, is it from your location? Yes, obviously it's from where I am, usually. And then it will give you directions. And then you press start, and if you know the way, you say, oh, I know the way, I just put away my Google Maps and I just drive there. But often, like me, when I'm in the city, I just keep that thing on and that voice speaking to me, and then I get to where I need to go. Years ago, you couldn't trust Google, but they've gotten better. Né? Okay, let's just go to the next one. So for today, it's going to work exactly the same. We're going to quickly look at our location. And when you go on Google, if all of us go on Google Maps in 3 hours' time, we're all going to be in a different location. We all are in a different location, and we need to ascertain where that is. And I can't tell you that. That's why I need you to participate this morning. And don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. It'll just be between you and the Lord, okay? And then our destination, we're going to look at how does God reveal himself to us? That's the destination, the same place, the place where he's preparing a meal for us. But we all need to get there. And our directions also, I cannot tell you the directions because your location will be different from my location, but we need to get to the same direction. Okay, and then obviously the Holy Spirit will show you the fastest route, and I cannot tell you that either. So most of today's sermon is going to be depending on you. Okay, I'm just going to facilitate him so that we can live and move in him. All right. So our location, I'm going to just use it. Jesus asked the same of his disciples in Mark 8:29. He asked them, and you, who are you saying about? What are you saying about me? Who am I? And today, I'm asking you the same question about the Father to determine your location. Who do you say that the Father is? So I'm going to ask you to think back. I'm going to just tell a story from my own life to illustrate. When I was little, my first encounter, my first that I can remember that I tried to engage the Father was when I was very little. You can put the picture up of the dead bird. Okay. I was maybe somewhere in primary school, and I remember, I don't know if the bird was alive and then it died in my hand. I'm not sure what happened, but I ended up with a dead bird in my hand. And I knew without a doubt that there is a God in heaven. I knew that it's Jesus' Father. I knew that I am his child, and I knew that he could raise this bird from the dead. That's the truth. He could do it. And I petitioned him with tears. And I prayed with faith. How many of you have done that? Just Craig. Okay. Some of you. And guess what? The bird is still dead. The bird didn't come to life. And in that moment, something ministered to me about the Father that was not the truth. I got ministered to by, like, he didn't hear me. Maybe I'm not one of his special children. He doesn't want to do it for me because I had faith. I knew he could do it. I've heard him do it for other people. But he didn't do it for me in that day. And that shaped my location of who I thought the Father was. So I want you, and we're all trusting the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be when you were little. Maybe recently where you have tried to engage the Father and the enemy have sold you a lie because your expectation wasn't met about how the Father should react to you. And that is hard for us, and it happens through our lives. And as we mature, we're supposed to be able to recognize and say, well, I know the truth. This is a lie, and I'm going to continue to believe the truth. So some of us encounter God like that. I'm that kind of a person. I would like just try to get into the Spirit and speak to him. But a lot of us encountered God in the way that we were raised. This is the next thing you're going to say. Oh, I know this. I know this. Psychology tells us. They preach it all the time. If you've done Encounter 3, you know, you have father wounds and mother wounds. It sounds so cliche, but it's true because it's true. We all had fathers, and some of us didn't have fathers, but there was authority figures. There were authority figures in our lives that shaped the way we see the Father. Again, a story from my own life. My father, and remember, fathers give us identity. My father was great in giving us identity. He would take us on adventures. I mean, I was 9 years old when I hiked the most difficult mountain range in South Africa. I was 12 when I bungee jumped for the first time. I can't remember how many times I've been down raging rivers of death with my father. So I have a identity that I can do absolutely anything. Because my dad just took us with on all these adventures. But my father was also an alcoholic. So I never knew. Sometimes he was strong and I could trust him that he would keep me safe. But I never knew if I came into the room and his eyes looked a certain way, suddenly all of that fell away. So for me, I had that ambivalence. I never knew if I could trust him. When is he going to be strong? When is he going to be weak? When is he going to protect me? When will I need to fear for my life? So that impacted the way I reacted to the Father. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to just think back. When you think about the Father, words like, do you ever feel afraid to approach him? Do you feel he's indifferent towards you? Or maybe you felt that in the past? Like I felt with a bird, he didn't care. Do you ever experience Father God as being fun? I know Ross. He's a fun guy. But so many of us don't know that. We think he's just serious. Okay, and he is serious. He's serious about having fun with us. And then, is he available? Or is your father out of reach? Some of us, our fathers were there, but they were never available. And for me, through my life, many times, it's like when the enemy gets a little hook, he keeps ministering that thing, this disappointment. I trust him for something. And even after I got saved, so many times I would say, I don't want to give you anything, or everything, because I know you're going to hurt me. That disappointment that comes in. Okay, so I want you to think about your view of God the Father. And then I want you to, let's look at Jesus. So we've got our idea about the Father. And for many of you, when you think about the Father, there's only good things. And I want you to hold on to that and make your little heap of stones of remembrance of how he ministered to you, faithfulness, goodness, fun. Because that's what you're going to do this morning. Okay, so and then, when we think about Jesus and how he reveals himself in the Gospels, I mean, we've been going through, thank you, Craig, for going through the Sermon on the Mount. It has impacted my life, hasn't it? Just amazing to get to know Jesus through that sermon. But when we look at Jesus, how is he revealed in the Word? He's available to people all the time. He's always available. I mean, even the Roman centurion, everybody that wanted access to Jesus, if they just pressed in, they could reach him. He knew everything about people. Nathaniel, he meets him. He says, I saw you under the tree. He knows everything about you. He knows what you did last night when your family went to bed. He knows he saw you in the coffee shop this week when you struggled to contain your anger. He sees you when you're sitting in the corner crying because it's tough being a mother. He sees you. He knows all about us. Okay? Jesus had compassion. We know that. I mean, the wedding at Cana. If I was there and they came to me, I would say, thank goodness, let's just close this party down. I don't want to do the dishes. But Jesus is like a fun guy, and we need wine, and he has compassion, and he makes the wine. It wasn't his time yet, but he did it anyway. He's so generous. He's so life-giving. He gives the Spirit. He feeds 5,000 people. I mean, if 5,000 people, I get the disciples. Jock, just now, we've booked our holiday with people coming to visit. And he's like, do we still have space for these two people? I'm like, you can invite whoever you want to be. I'm done. But he's like Jesus, because he's like, there's room for more. Isn't that the Jesus that we know? And Jesus serves the disciples. He keeps on serving us. Now, if your picture of Father God and your picture of Jesus doesn't align, is not exactly the same, then we are not at our destination yet. So let's look at what the Word says. The next slide, Simon, please. Okay. So we're going to read the Word in that little white block. There, you need to follow there. If you can't see there, just listen to my voice. Okay. First, we're going to just read the one in the yellow. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. Yes, we know that, but just think of that. Jesus and the Father is one and the same. Okay, let's read from verse 12, John 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. So this prologue to the Gospel of John mirrors the creation narrative in Genesis, and it places Jesus central to God's work in creation and redemption. We know that John wrote this gospel to convince people that Jesus is the Son of God. But even more than that, in this book, more than any other book in the Bible, and I love preparing the sermon because I just got to read through John again. I did fall asleep, a couple of nights this week. Jacques had to take the Bible out of my hand. And I had to start again because I couldn't remember. But I think it's more than 200 times. I dare you, go read John and see how many references you can find to God the Father. Because the book of John, it doesn't just show us that God is the Father. It underlines it. It argues it. It shows it. It throws it in your face. It stresses that the Father is like Jesus. And we've just talked about Jesus. The Father is like Jesus. Okay? Put up the next slide for me. Let's just quickly look at the Father. God is, in a generic sense, he's the Father of all creation, of every human being, of every plant, every animal, everything that exists, because He created it. Okay? And as the Father, He's got life in Himself, and He granted this life also to the Son, the same life. It's very small there, but Ephesians 3:9 speaks about that. He's the Father of all creation. Hebrews 12:9, He's the Father of all the spirits. He's the Father of He made everything. Acts 17:28. Okay, we just read that. He is good because He made everything. And then, in a particular way, He's the Father to Jesus. He says He's His only begotten Son. It makes Jesus unique in that sense, the Son of the immortal God and an immortal human being. And therefore, He's our perfect Savior. And then it comes to us. Again, He's the Father. He's the Father to all believers. All who received Him, He gave the right to become His children. God is a family man. Like I said, He is a family man. So when we think about Jesus and who He is, and we think about God that is a Father in every sense of the word, how does that impact us? How do we relate? How does that change our lives? The gospel invites us into the same relationship that Jesus and the Father had. And what relationship was that? How did they relate to one another? Can you give me the next slide, Simon? Okay. First of all, Jesus openly converses with the Father. Okay, we see there in John, I love that, just before he raises Lazarus from the death, he prays out loud, Father, I thank You that You hear me, that You always hear me. But I'm just saying this on account of the people standing here. Jesus just speaks to the Father all the time, and He hears Him, and the Father, and that's His desire for us. And at the end, I'm going to give you time to spend time in the throne room, and maybe that's your request today. Think about it, that you want to be able to hear the Father and speak to the Father the way that Jesus did. Just wherever you go, you can hear His voice. Wherever you go, you can speak to Him. Okay. The next one, the Father answers His prayer. Sorry, gaan terug weer, jammer. Dis my skuld. The Father answers His prayers. You know what, that day with the bird? God did answer my prayer. He said no. And we forget sometimes that He's a Father, and fathers say no a lot. Nay. Because children sometimes come with really outrageous requests that won't often be good to us. If Father God said yes to everything that I have asked, I would probably be dead already because it wasn't good things. Okay? He answers our prayers. Sometimes he tells you no. Sometimes he tells you wait. Sometimes he tells you to go in a completely different direction. But he does answer our prayers. And when the enemy ministers to us that he didn't hear us and he's not answering our prayers, we can put that aside because we are invited into the same relationship with the Father that Jesus has. And that is the truth. Okay. And then publicly, the Father affirms Jesus. We see it twice in Matthew 3 where he gets baptized. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately went up from the water and behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And then there was that voice from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." Again, we see it in Matthew 17 on the Transfiguration on the Mount where Peter and them went with Jesus and from the cloud a voice came and said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." I think he was speaking to people, Peter. He probably said, "Peter, just stop talking." Many of us are like that. Craig agrees with me. Okay, I'm on the right track. We just keep talking. And God is saying, "Listen to me." Okay. And he says, "Listen to my Son." I don't know. Later, sorry. Jammer. Ek is preek nou lekker op hierdie slide. Okay. So, publicly, the Father affirms Jesus. For many of us, it will first happen privately. Who of you have heard within yourself, Father telling you, "I'm proud of you. Well done, good and faithful servant. You are my daughter." I can gladly say I hear it so often when I spend time with him, where I'm just overwhelmed at how pleased he is with me. Then I know about everything I've messed up. And then I sit on his lap and he continues to minister his acceptance of me. And the reason I'm tearing up is because I know that some of you have never heard that. And the Father delights in you and he wants to affirm you. And he needs you to come into the throne room of grace. Because that, again, we've been invited into the same relationship that Jesus has with the Father. And we are no different. Before we prayed during the intercession, there was a word that came out that these people here today that maybe feel like imposters. You feel like you don't belong. You feel like you're maybe wearing a mask. I remember feeling like that for many years because my husband and I, we are different from our families. For many years, we experienced being the swartskape. You know what that is. And the family would often say it. "Julle is die weird, you're the weird ones. You're the weird couple." And then I'm like, I thought we were quite normal. But it kept on coming. And it started ministering. What is wrong with us? Do we belong here? What? You have yet? I don't know. Some of you know. Some of you don't. Some of you are just perfectly normal. But for those of you who feels like you don't belong, the Father has been ministering to me because I took it to him. My family keeps telling me I'm weird. Do they say it in love? Is it true? And he's like, "Yes, it's totally true. I made you like that. I love that about you." And the Father wants to minister that to you too. Okay. Tannie Frieda, jy agree, nee? Tannie Frieda, stem jy saam? So, almal sit so doodstil. Okay. Timothy Keller said, "The fact that God can be our Father," it's not up there, but it's going to come now. "The fact that God can be our Father is possibly one of the most important things that the Bible tells us. Jesus came and lived and died so that we could have a family relationship with God, so that we can call him Father." And then that bit that he says there, sorry, nou gaan ons na daarin toe gaan. "The only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. And we have that kind of access." We do. And some of us need to remember that today. Some of us need to go into the throne room for the first time today and ask for that glass of water. Okay, it's not rocket science. So now we know, you should know your location. We know what the Bible reveals about the Father and how he wants us to relate to him. And then, like I said, the directions is not rocket science. You can go on. I don't think this is rocket science. Some of you math people will know what that is. To me, it's all Greek. First of all, we know that we need faith in Jesus. We cannot get to the Father. He wants us with him. But he's in heaven. He wants us in that place with him. But Jesus made the way. So we need to have faith in Jesus. And I almost wanted to jump over have faith in Jesus, because we all know that. This whole sermon is full of cliches. But I really want us to stand still, because the other day, a revelation hit me. We've got German friends who come visit South Africa once a year. They're very old. Every year they come, we pray that we will, and they haven't accepted the Lord, we pray that God will spare them another year, because we just know that God wants them in his kingdom. But this guy is very clever. He always says he's an agnostic, but he reads everything we give him, and we talk about the Lord, and we minister, but he doesn't have faith in Jesus yet. But he's an amazing person. My kids love him. And the other day we were driving, and then my son said, I'm going to say this in Afrikaans, Mama, oom Johannes is so a goeie mens, as hy dood gaan, gaan hy by Jesus wees. And then I was like, I really wanted to say yes. But that was not true. Because he hasn't accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He still thinks that he has done enough. He is the one that saves himself. And then I had to explain. And then I was like, my son is almost 10. He's growing up in the church. And he thinks it's okay to just do good works. I have failed. One of us have failed. So now, so that night it hit me. I was like, we take for granted that when we sit in church, we know that we need to have faith in Jesus. We really need to have faith in Jesus alone and what he's done. He has lived the life for us. He has laid the cross over the chasm. He's the only way to the Father. He says, any other way, you're a thief and a robber. So we need to trust and confess that Jesus is the Son of God. He sent as the Passover lamb to die as a substitute for my sins. Why? Why did he? To bring me home to the family man. To bring me home to the Father as a legitimate child and heir. And then the last one, that many of us, we have faith in Jesus. We know we are home, but we don't go home. We don't spend time in the throne room. We have access to the Father, to have the same relationship as he and Jesus have. Hebrews 14 verse 6, it's not up there, but it talks about we can boldly enter the throne room of grace and ask help in time of need. And I want to add, also just to spend time with the Father. You don't only go there to ask help in time of need. Okay, I'm going to ask my husband to play a song. It's not long, but I really want you to take time to lean back into the loving arms of your Father. If you could now go into the throne room of grace and you have that access and you believe that, what grace would you ask the Lord this morning? What would you ask Father today? Some of you just need to go and sit in his lap and thank him for the good and faithful and fun guy that he is. And just spend some time in intimacy with your Father. Some of you need to take your two pictures that's not aligned yet and ask him to show you how much he is like Jesus. So that his goodness does follow you, but that you can see it. And some of you just need to sit quietly and listen to him. So I ask you to this next 3 minutes, just close your eyes and spend it with your Father. Okay.
Thank you.
Just as we remain in this moment and just keep our eyes closed, I want to read for you from Galatians. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And I want to invite you in this moment, as our eyes are closed, receive the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, because he lived in your place, because you were separated from the Father. But when we receive him as Lord and Savior, we put our trust in him, we also receive this. We receive adoption as sons. Now, if this has been uncomfortable for you, I want to invite you, let's say these words together. In Christ, I receive adoption. And then he continues, because you are sons, because of this that we receive in Christ, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so, Father, we come once again, we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. We receive that it means adoption as your sons in him. And we receive that it means we can receive your Spirit, Jesus, the Spirit of sonship, the Spirit that imparts identity, that is the Spirit that wakens and quickens our mortal bodies to cry out to the living God, Abba, Father. 3 o'clock in the morning, we need water, Lord. And then I want to leave you with this scripture from Hebrews. Just to summarize this sermon, Hebrews 1, verse 3, speaking of Jesus the Son, says, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. If he holds the universe going, if you woke up this morning and the universe was still existing, it's because of the word of Jesus' power. And that is an invitation again, just as we close. Maybe there are things in your life that you feel are not holding together. This is an opportunity to bring that before him and say, Lord, speak your word. Speak the word that has the power to hold this together. Speak it into this part of my life. Lord, as we bring areas of our lives before you, Father, as we are in need, we come and we pray. Speak your word. We see every promise fulfilled in Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you'll stand with me, I'm going to dismiss the service. If you still have a need to pray with someone, the small group and intercessors, the small group leaders and intercessors, they will be in the front here. Esther and myself will also be in the front here. You are welcome to come to the front after I dismiss the service and just we'll pray with you, or you're welcome to pray with someone with you in that's sitting next to you. I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. Father, that you would make your face shine upon us, and then we would have eyes to see that. Father, we would know your face is turned towards us in Jesus Christ. That we walk before you with that same favor in Jesus Christ. I pray that we would walk in that peace and rest in that finished work. In your name, amen and amen.